Welcome to the Aftermarket's Premier Podcast and for listening to this food for thought episode that may just change the way you look at technician training. Hey, I'm so glad you value this pure form of audio aftermarket wisdom as we work hard to bring you cutting-edge topics that inspire important thinking. Carm Capriotto here. How are you? With an important take on training with David Boies and Paul Pate from today's classtechnician.com. I really believe you'll find this a very interesting episode while you consider the possibility of implementing this new training method yourself. Hey, two great partners of the podcast bring you this new episode today, Apex and Shopware. Hey, now, I know many of you love to go to Apex to buy equipment for your shop. And guess what? You still can by attending the virtual Apex experience November 3rd through the 5th, 2020. And also, there's going to be great training, both management and technician, and it's all free. Register now at aapexshow.com/register. Did I say free? Hey, now more than ever, you're focused on bringing cars through your bays safely and efficiently. Shopware Shop Management System offers a completely contactless workflow, and we need that today. Your customers can review, approve, and pay for the repairs right from their smartphone or personal device. Request a demo and see Shopware in action at getshopware.com/carm. Hey, if you're interested in a system that is designed to teach with adaptive learning interactions, with wrong answers greeted with why it was wrong and why the correct answer is correct. So cool, you may just have discovered a powerful new tool to keep the education flowing in your shop.
Be armed with that knowledge going right in. Just go say, Bill, voltage drop for you. Sam, you know, here's what you need. And you'd have that visibility. But the other nice thing is that once they're done, the training continues. So we have kind of this last mile impact where the boutique training or instructor-led training has happened, but then they're going to continue to get that daily training after it.
Hey, more with David Boies and Paul Pate in a minute. Hey, did you see the live shop tour this week? Well, as of this broadcast, there are 17 archived episodes at aftermarketweekly.com. Now, this show is really taken off as a resource to congeal your learning curve each and every week and get a shop tour to boot. We broadcast live every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time and all the episodes archived at aftermarketweekly.com. And if you're not listening to this podcast while you are mobile, get yourself a free podcast listening app at remarkableresults.biz/subscribe. Hey, please know that my love of audio and my passion to change the lives of others is what drives every podcast. Absorb every waveform and use the wisdom and inspiration to make a difference in your business and your life. Hey, now enjoy this very interesting discussion with David Boies and Paul Pate from today's classtechnician.com. A warm welcome to David Boies, President, and Paul Pate, Director of Professional Services from today's class. Now, you ask yourself, what's today's class all about? You're going to learn so much. You're really going to be, I think, impressed. And we're talking about training. OMG, training, COVID. Think about what just happened to training, guys. There has never been more online training. It's almost like today's class had a gift from COVID, and that is to put some people behind some form of device, be it a computer or be it a handheld device, to get their training. But I don't want to minimize the power of your process and your company. There's only one reason I'd have you guys on here to talk about this, because I am so impressed, so impressed. So, David, let me start out. How has training changed in the last, say, 20 or 30 years?
Well, I mean, our opportunities to provide training have changed, but our audience has changed a little bit too. Our audience is less patient. They're very comfortable getting information on their devices, and they anticipate information to come to them very quickly. They're looking for a very tailored experience. You know, think about Netflix versus going to Blockbuster years ago. Expectations are just a little higher in terms of the information that's made available to me, in what format, and overall the accessibility. They also expect information to be targeted for them. Again, kind of using a Netflix type approach. If I'm going to get training, it needs to be relevant for me. And that ties into some adult learning principles as well. If it's targeted for me, you know, it is more likely to impact my knowledge overall, as opposed to information that is less relevant to me.
I think that is one of the most critical things you said. It's targeted. It's just for me. And this is what you guys do.
we try to make the training efficient. You know, when you start to look at training, what does a learner today want? They want to jump in and get the knowledge they need to know and answer their questions quickly and then move on.
You know, I'm a person who wants to learn something new every day. It's just how I'm wired. And if I don't, I go to bed not too happy. It rarely happens because there's so much coming at me. If it's an article that I could read and learn something, or it was a new piece of software and learn a new feature on it, or be in the studio and learn from my guests, I need to be satiated with knowledge. And that's why I'm so impressed with today's class and how that works.
We're very focused on is we want to understand what it is you need to learn today, Carm. So if we know what you're hungry for today or what you need to do your job or something that you are forgetting because you haven't exercised that mental muscle in some time, we want to know that. And then we want to help close that gap. One thing that's a little different about our solution is it's very focused on data. If you think about traditional learning, whether it's instructor-led or an LMS, it's a lot of outbound information from an instructor and LMS, hoping that connects with that user, but they're not always bringing data back in. An LMS will capture activity, it'll capture test scores, et cetera. We're trying to take that to a whole nother level in terms of capturing knowledge at various difficulty levels, confidence, how long somebody retains it, et cetera. And then we, leverage all that data to then make the experience that much impactful going forward. If you think about it from an advertising perspective, you think about a billboard or a commercial on network news, they're pushing that out, right? But it wasn't always clear how much that's resonating. And if you think about online marketing now, clicks, impressions, that kind of information that then allows organizations to retarget you to sell you something, we're just leveraging that same sort of approach. So we want to gather as much data as we can about your needs and your business, and then help address those areas.
I want to address LMS, and I love to try in any podcast that I do when someone pops an acronym out there, LMS, Learning Management Systems. If you listen to the podcast at all, you've heard me say LMS, Learning Management Systems, a lot, and that is where I am tracked by what course I took. A lot of times there's a pre and post assessment so that I, as a shop owner, can look at my team's, if you will, training resume on the LMS and know what we're doing and taking. Your software basically brings up, I believe it is a question today, based on the need, the competency that your algorithms discover that I need to know and learn?
Yeah, so let me frame it up this way. So a traditional learning management system, a learner will either be directed to or sign up to take a course. That course might take them an hour, it might take them two. It may hit on areas that they have. Maybe they need to skip to chapter three to find something that's new to them. The way our platform works is that it pushes out training sessions on a day-by-day basis. They're typically sessions that last 4 to 6 minutes long. We do use a question-based, confidence-based assessment method that we call adaptive learning interactions to do that. But yeah, essentially, when you first start with the platform, the system is essentially assessing you and also training you, starting at the foundational level. But as it gathers more data about you in your training session today, it could be pushing content at you that's something new that you haven't touched before. It could be focusing on a new release, let's say a new technology that your business has a priority for, or a safety thing that needs to be pushed out urgently. Or it could be focused on knowledge retention. And that's an area that's a little different as well. With a traditional learning approach, once you take your electrical course, how often do you go back? In our experience, it's not that common for somebody to go back and take that same course over again. What we do is that once you've demonstrated you have that knowledge, that's great news, but the system isn't going to come back and essentially perform knowledge checks with you over time via approach that we refer to as spaced repetition, because it ensures that you're retaining that knowledge over time, which is where it's going to impact your business.
I don't know about you, Paul, but I think he just spoke to us about an algorithm. And I'm kidding, kind of, because we hear this all the time. Algorithm. Facebook does this and Google does this. Are you guys pretty proud of your algorithm?
Oh, yes. Our algorithm is really going to nail down where the learner's weaknesses are, where their strengths are, and also their confidence. And, if you look at the studies, the research in brain science, they're saying confidence plays a huge role in how an employee performs. So if we could measure that confidence, we could measure their knowledge, And we do it on a continual basis. This is not a one point in time, hey, on Tuesday, August 18th, you demonstrated proficiency in that and you knew it. No, we don't accept that. What we do is continually with the algorithm, we're checking knowledge of the learner. And if they show weakness, we're going to feed it back and feed them training automatically through the algorithm that says, okay, we can see that you're struggling a little bit here. So let's reinforce this until your confidence improves. And we know that a confident employee is a more efficient employee. They make less mistakes. I mean, ask any shop owner out there. If you have two technicians side by side and they both have about the same ability, but one's confident in their diagnostic and in their work style and the other is not, who produces more labor hours? It's going to be the guy that's confident.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, learn how rewards points work into this system. Hey, Carm here. Now, hey, I know many of you go to Apex to buy equipment for your shop, and it's a special part of the reason you attend Apex. And guess what? You can still buy attending the virtual Apex experience. Hey, write these dates down, November 3rd through the 5th, 2020. You simply use our virtual platform to set up one-on-one meetings with suppliers and manufacturers, and you conduct business from your shop or at home. They thought of everything. And there's more, at no cost. Yes, virtual Apex is no cost to you, and you'll have the opportunity to sharpen your technical and management skills with training classes led by the best of the best in the industry. All the training is geared toward shop owners and technicians, along with service advisors. However, all aftermarket professionals are welcomed to attend. Virtual Apex is a perfect opportunity to get training for you and your entire crew without spending anything. There's also additional training on new product and equipment demos by some of the big names, including Autel, Bolt-On Technology, Bosch, Garage Gurus Drive, Hunter Engineering Company, Kukui, and Napa Auto Care. Register now, aapexshow.com/register. Hey, don't miss out on this unprecedented event. Be part of it. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Now, one, your customer views their outstanding balance. Number two, they are prompted to submit payment directly through their invoice. And three, Shopware's secure portal facilitates payments right there without having to open another browser or remember another password. It's really that simple. Shopware is your complete solution for contactless service. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit getshopware.com for more information and to request a demo. The web training that went on, guys, and I know you know all about it. In the first March, April, 724, you could get some kind of training seminar, and thousands of people attended. And then business kind of picked up, and then they weaned off. But what I thought was just fabulous and fantastic was that we stopped to reinvent what online training could and can be. And what I think about today's class is the evolution of where we've been in the last 6 months. It's like we've got to get back to work, but we need training. And we didn't realize how much we really needed and how really it benefited us. How can I keep it going?
We're very focused on that model. One, because we believe it helps from a learning perspective to have these short drip feed irrigation type approaches to learning. It allows you to build over time, but it doesn't disrupt the workday too. Our training takes a few minutes. It can be pushed to a cell phone. It can be pushed to a tablet, but you can learn in a few minutes a day. Our data demonstrates that. That's one thing that we measure everything. So we can understand where somebody starts and where they are today, but we can do that as they do get back to work. They don't need to necessarily be off parked at a PC for an hour and a half, or of course that there's definitely a place for that, but on the ongoing day by day basis, it's tough to make that happen.
Is this helping me find weaknesses inside of my team?
Yeah, you'll be able to graph with the data exactly where somebody is weak and where somebody's strong. So if you have a team and you say, okay, I want to assign work based upon their strengths, not their weaknesses. And you know that as a shop owner or shop foreman, and you can say, okay, this particular individual is very strong in voltage drop. He's very strong in electrical diagnosis. He's very strong in this, but maybe he's a little bit weak in air conditioning diagnosis. Now you can use that as a tool for the shop, and you can assign it. But you're not just going to assign the work based upon where their strengths are. You're going to now come back in with our platform, and automatically the algorithm is going to start to feed training to that person in their area of weakness. So you're building that person up, but you're also using that person for his strengths.
Hey, guys, if you had a course on GDI and there's different elements inside of it, would you know if I know all of those elements to, you know, to the best of my ability? And if there's an area of weakness at all within the class?
Yes, we would.
That's a fabulous answer. And I want everybody to remember what Paul just said. He said yes to my question. And here's why. On the podcast, we've talked about, I've asked shop owners, you keep a training resume on your people. Well, no, I don't. I do. And how do I, you know, my thoughts were, is you just have this beautiful Excel spreadsheet and you have the courses along the left-hand side and the date and the name of the course. And you have your technicians along the top. And you say, hey, we're getting a whole lot more GDI work. Who's been to the class? Oh, someone's not been there in 2 years. Vision's having, you know, a couple of hours on it. So we're going to go to Vision and I want you to take GDI. Doesn't mean that I got it all. And I think what you're trying to tell me is GDI as a broad-based topic has a lot of elements inside of it, and you're focused on all of them. So I could always look at it, I think you said some kind of dashboard or graph, and find out who my absolute best person is. And if not, can I press a button somehow as the owner of the shop and say, I want more GDI to go to this tech?
Yeah. So we collect all this data and we do that to push the training, but we also present that data in a way that a shop owner can drill down and see that. So yes, you could look at your entire shop and say, okay, where are our strengths and weaknesses? Electrical, steering, suspension, so forth. Or you could drill down lower and say, okay, where is this individual user? What's their strength or weaknesses? But then you could go even lower and understand down to a concept level and down to a difficulty level. Have they mastered the fundamentals and they're struggling in application or analysis, or are they struggling with fundamentals? But yes, in a matter of, you know, 3 or 4 clicks, you can get down and see that information.
This is the perfect answer to some of the problems we have with training.
It's a part. You know, I think we can play a good part of it.
There's probably going to be hands-on. I mean, you're not going to, you still got to get into the scope class and play with it and plug it in and read it and learn it.
You know, using your scenario, so let's envision, I know I've got 5 techs and I know where their strengths and weaknesses are. And there's a great class that's available that's in town. And I got to figure out who should go to that. I can now identify who that is. Or you can flip it around. And if I'm providing instructor-led training, if I can build a class roster that is perfect for my class, then I can have a terrific instructor-led class. Maybe I should turn over to Paul here because he's been in front of those classrooms. But I think what we often hear is there's challenges in terms of making sure that audience is qualified for that class. We're going to have an advanced electrical class. Who's going to show up? A lot of people. Are they all qualified to do advanced electrical? I don't know.
Paul, give us 1 minute on your resume. It's a pretty nice one.
Started out as a technician. Primarily in import vehicles was my specialty, moved into teaching, taught at a college for many years, moved out of the college environment and started in private industry. And so I've specialized in natural gas vehicles, specialized in hybrid vehicles, done a lot of stand-up instruction all around the country and different parts of the world as well. And then, you know, honestly, Carm, when I saw what this was doing, this new platform for adaptive learning, I said, I've got to be a part of this because I've been a stand-up instructor and I've always had those questions. I get this class of 10, 15, 20 people and I'm trying to teach and give something to everybody, but it's very, very difficult. What if I knew before the class even got there, the individual strengths and weaknesses? What if I could custom tailor the class just a bit so that I'm meeting those people's needs? What if you as a shop owner, before you sent your tech to my class, could determine, okay, who's appropriate to go, who's appropriate not to go? I mean, do I send that guy that's already showing 90% proficiency in the topic? No, because he's going to be bored out of his mind. Do I send the person that's only 50% proficient? Probably not, because it's going to be over his head. So who can I get the most bang for the buck when it comes to training for? Probably that group, you know, 60 to 80% proficient in a topic. Those are the guys that are going to really get something out of this class, and I can make a significant improvement.
Paul just said something big, and if you're a loyal fan of the podcast, you're going to know just what I'm going to say next. We did a show, a town hall academy, I'm guessing 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I called it boutique training. And that is that the shop, the individual shop, can hire a trainer to come to their shop, get a couple of the local shops that they know to help share the cost. But it's a Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's the specific training that they need in a specific system or a specific platform. And it's just for me. It's not a, I go to a seminar and, you know, there's 20 of us in the class. It's for me, my guys, local, intimate. I can see how today's class fits. Because if I had today's class going on inside of my shop and I could look at my dashboard, look at my assessments, look at where my people are, when that trainer came in, I'd nail all the areas that we needed. Just what you just said. Nail it. And I do believe that that's going to be this focused, specific, leader-led stuff that could be totally sitting on the platform of today's class. I can see how they fit.
Vehicles are changing and the technology coming down is so rapid. I mean, I'm not saying anything new here, but how are we addressing that? And the only real way to address that is let's change training from an event-based thing to part of our culture every single day. So if you're using and getting your employees into just a short time frame, but some training every single day, and that leads to these boutique training classes that you're talking about, going to be far more effective than just to say, okay, hey guys, every other month I've got a boutique training for you and I want you to attend. No, we're going to make training part of the everyday culture. It's part of our life. And we all understand as technicians that, look, the technology's coming down and I'm learning about it. I'm making myself even more valuable. I get higher job satisfaction because of that. So there's a lot that goes along with changing training from an event to a culture.
I can imagine the owner of the shop sitting down with his team, calling up today's class. I've never seen your dashboard, but say, hey, look at this is what's been going on in the last 3 or 4 months. You see this curve, you see this bar, whatever it is. Why don't we get together and all go to a specific focused class? We're going to hire X to come in and teach us, but there's the proof, we need it.
Yeah, you can get to that very quickly. And you can even use, there's some nice little features where you can understand over the past week or the past month, what is the area that we've been struggling with the most? So if you have a stand-up meeting on a weekly basis, just these quick hits. Okay, here's the thing that we've been struggling with. So let's address it. But with these boutique training opportunities, that's a great scenario. We talk about that often where somebody could, in the parking lot of the shop, pull up the dashboard and be able to look at all this information and be armed with that knowledge going right in. This goes, say, Bill, voltage drop for you. Sam, here's what you need. And you'd have that visibility. But the other nice thing is that once they're done, the training continues. So we have kind of this last mile impact where the boutique training or instructor-led training has happened, but then they're going to continue to get that daily training after it. It's going to help them retain it. And it's going to help you know as an instructor that, that they jumped, now they're getting their scores have improved in this area that they just conducted that instructor-led training on. So you kind of get that full circle approach.
David, as the president of the company, I mentioned this earlier and I gotta ask you straight up. COVID changed your mind on any strategy of your company. Tell me how it hit you.
It reassured where we're going. It did have it's had a short-term impact on customers we're working with because everybody's scrambling. But I think for a lot of organizations, this is real now. Okay, we need to find a different way to do this. And where we kind of led off about what has changed or what hasn't changed. I mean, at least the online component of training hasn't really changed significantly, I would argue, in a while. The mode is still sit down, log in, and take a course. And we have a platform that does that too. It's primarily used by schools. The adoption of that is a struggle. It's very difficult to get users to come back and take those courses over and over and get something out of it. So we really wanted to flip the model around. So for us, a lot of it was timing. I mean, the reason we're able to do what we're doing is the technology's improved. Everybody's got a device. Their expectations have changed, and we're playing into that very nicely. And then with COVID, from an organizational perspective, I think there's some additional recognition that, hey, we need to do something.
What's the reaction of the techs that are enrolled?
Engagement is pretty high. Think about the traditional online learning LMS solution. How often are users logging in? Based on our experience, again, with our traditional platform, that number was not very high. What we see is technicians in this platform logging in 3, 4, 5 times a week. We see them logging in on Saturdays, and it's just a quick hit. They're not in there for a long time. So the engagement is really high. We saw folks on Christmas Day this past year training. We see them on weekends.
Are they just taking one question and then answering it, or are they going in a little deeper?
A bit of both. Some folks are just very focused on doing what we call their daily training, which is, you know, 4 to 6 minute session. Now, one of the features there is we include rewards points as they do that, which enables them to compete against their other techs. We have them in groups where they could compete against other shops. We've got organizations where a region or a district or a group of shops might be competing with one another. We've also got other groups where there's, you know, shops that don't really have a relationship with each other, but are competing with each other, you know, across the country. So to earn points to be the top tech in my shop, I need to stay on top of my training. And again, it's 4 to 6 minute commitment a day. It's relevant to me every day. So the fact that we've got techs coming in, some of them do it 7 days a week. At, you know, they're just on top of it. That has demonstrated to us that there is a hunger for that knowledge there, that the model is engaging for them. So overall, it's been received pretty well. I mean, obviously, you're going to have, you know, some folks that don't like it. The method of the training is a little different. It takes some getting used to, because it's not reading 3 or 4 paragraphs and taking a quiz. It's a very different model.
Now, Paul, if I get an answer wrong to a test question, do you tell me why or how I got it wrong, and then will you retest me in the future?
Absolutely. So first of all, we don't call them tests. We call them adaptive learning interactions. And there's a reason. It's not just a name here. But an adaptive learning interaction means that the platform is interacting with you as the learner. It's trying to figure out where you're at and what you need. So if you answer one of these interactions or questions, as you say, incorrectly, you're going to get feedback, not just says you're wrong. It's going to say, this is incorrect, and this is why this is incorrect, and this is why the correct answer was correct. Our questions or adaptive learning interactions are not designed to quiz or test. They're designed to teach, so they're written differently. Everything that we do in this platform is designed to teach. So when we're asking you a question, it's just to gauge your level of understanding and figure out what you need. So then the adaptive algorithms in the background are saying, okay, based on this question and the 37 others that were around this particular topic, we can figure out exactly what it is that you need.
It's all building blocks. So it's this adaptive learning action at this difficulty level. We have got difficulty levels from, you know, again, fundamentals up through application and analysis, but then they're all linked. So it's, we can identify that you might have a gap in the application level, in electrical, in voltage drop, specific to this key learning point is what we call them. This is the thing that we need somebody to know. So it's very granular in that respect. So you're not just getting a 70% effective in electrical. We know the exact concept that you're struggling with, and that data is available for the algorithm to get smarter and make sure the training is relevant for you. But it's also available for that manager to see that as well. Because you don't want to beat somebody up if they're pretty good in an area. There's just one thing they don't get. But that's one thing we're very efficient at, is we can find that gap and close it.
When you really drill down to why a technician fails at a diagnostic or something like that, it's not typically an overall lack of knowledge. It's they're missing one piece of foundational information. And as you alluded to earlier, our platform is drilling down and figure out what that one piece is. Then we're going to teach that piece. And that's usually the key to helping a technician be more effective at performing a diagnostic or a service procedure.
What is it like teaching me? Is it video? Is it words? Do I read? Give me an idea.
Both. So you'll have questions that are word-based. You'll have questions that are graphic-based. You'll have hotspot questions where you're identifying in a picture or a schematic or something like that, you know, where a certain component is or where a failure is or something along those lines. But then you asked about video. So earlier you had asked, you know, about, is this platform engaging? What's the reaction of our learners? Dave alluded to the fact that our typical training session's 4 to 6 minutes. But if you go look at our dashboard and look at the average time a person's in that, they're usually in about 10 minutes a day. They're not in there because they have to be. It's because they choose to be. So if you wanted to go look up a video or a graphic or a PDF or something like that, we have an area called Discover. And you would just type in a keyword. Say your keyword is diesel after treatment. So you pop in that keyword and it gives you a whole list of articles, and they may be videos, they may be PDFs, they may be graphics, they may be whatever, but you can go in and search these things. You can put favorites on them. You can do all this stuff. And we can show you through the dashboard that, you know, people like that. That's why they're in their platform more than just the 4 to 6 minutes a day. It's because they're choosing to do that because they find the content engaging.
A knowledge-hungry tech has a new friend.
Yes.
Yeah. We have some folks that jump in and they go nuts. I mean, they just really are highly active in the platform. Yeah, you know, we'll see some folks that'll jump in there and spend an hour, hour and a half in there. Again, we'll see activity on the holidays, on Saturdays, but it's just empowering them. They can do it, you know, kind of the bare minimum is for those techs to do that daily training. And if they do that, it'll work. You know, just imagine coming in and every time I'm spending 4 to 6 minutes, it's high value, it's useful, it's targeted for me. That's going to make an impact over time. Then if they want to go beyond that and review Discover, watch additional videos, review additional resources, do additional adaptive training, they can. And that's all gravy. That daily piece is really what kind of drives the whole process.
I had a real funny thought as you guys were just describing that. He says, look at Bob over there. He must be on Facebook for this last half hour. You know, he's scrolling and he's smiling and he's, no, I'm actually on today's class and I'm getting smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like thank God for Facebook so that we learned how to spend time with the dumb device, the smart device, whatever. And you come along and now you take those that need that habit that we've adapted to in our life and you turn it into a learning platform.
Yeah, so we're piggybacking on all that. So again, we don't intend to disparage the traditional solutions that are out there. There's the environment's changed, the devices, the technology, and what that person is used to. Again, the 25-year-old that spends more time on their phone than they do a desktop computer, they're probably more comfortable, they're more comfortable doing training on a mobile phone than maybe somebody that's never done it before.
How do we find you?
Today'sClass.com will take you to our overall homepage, but that will divert you over to today'sClassTechnician.com. So we have a legacy product, which is the today'sClass.com domain, which focuses on CT education for secondary and post-secondary students. But then we launched the Today's Class Technician brand to really focus on this adaptive approach, you know, for technicians out there in the field.
So the proper URL is today'sClassTechnician.com?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Because I was on your site and I noticed that you do a lot of other stuff.
We do. So that's where we grew up.
Yep. Wow. You grew up in CTE, career technical education, everyone. That's what CTE stands for. And if you listen to the show, you know that. But yeah, cosmetology. What else did I see there?
Health science, workplace readiness, agri-science. We grew up on the automotive side of it, but we've got this platform that is very similar to other traditional learning management systems out there. And when we tried to make that available to technicians, it struggled to connect because it's not always accessible. It doesn't always fit their time. It's not always relevant. So what we've done is tried to rethink the way that the model works.
I think it's more relevant today than ever. It's almost like you're wearing tomorrow's fashions today, right now. What else should I know?
It's easy to get started. Sometimes users can be spooked by a software solution. This is very easy to stand up. It's very easy to manage. So what we've said is that the system does the heavy lifting in terms of what your techs are going to learn. Really, when we have a new customer come on board, we try to understand their priorities. Is it electrical? Is it suspension? Is it light duty? Is it heavy duty? And we prioritize those items, and then the system just goes. A technician will be in there, and if they need help in this area, they'll get it. If somebody else needs help in a different area, they'll get it. And the manager, really their primary role is just to make sure that the techs are staying engaged. Because again, if they log in, the training will be relevant. It will be high value to them that day. They'll continue to learn. And we've got the data that backs it up. So it's not something where it's heavy lifting for an administrator or manager. They just need to step back, let it do its thing, and then act on the data, whether it's bringing in a boutique trainer, whether it's hiring somebody to fill a gap that they have, whether it's, you know, supporting that person, recognizing somebody who's done really well and said, hey, this is our next lead tech. He's coming up fast.
I believe in what you guys are doing. David Boies, President, and Paul Pate, Director of Professional Services at today'sclasstechnician.com. Hey, guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Carm.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.